Thank you so much. Appreciate the good singing this morning. Choir, thank you for opening with a great selection for us and ending the singing. And then Steve, thank you for doing an excellent job this morning. This was his first day as assistant, and it's actually the day that we're on the radio. So there's a lot of pressure on Steve, but he done a real good job, and we appreciate him for taking care of everything for us. And amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Steve, again, and choir. Thank you. And Wanda, thank you for playing for us this morning and doing a good job for us also. We appreciate that very, very much. So now, I invite you to turn with us to the book of Kings, 1 Kings. That's what we're going to look at this morning. 1 Kings. And we're going to look at a story about Elijah and what transpired in his life. You can turn to about the 17th chapter, but I'm actually going to read out of the 19th chapter. And I know that's scaring you because you're thinking, gosh, there's a lot between chapter 17 and chapter 19. What are you going to do? Well, we're going to look at some of the things that Elijah done and some of the things that transpired in his life. Because unless you get and understand everything that was going on with his life and what was happening in his time, you really won't understand the point that I'm really trying to drive home this morning to all of us. Nothing is so hopeless in life. I want everybody to keep that thought in your heart, mind. Nothing is so hopeless in life. Considering what happened in Cherokee County this past week, a young student, 15 years old, William Thomas Wickley, took his own life. 15 years old. And in the life of our church, families have faced the same situation. My own family has faced a situation where someone chose to take their own life. My brother-in-law did just about, I guess it's been about 2 years ago. And I look out over the years that I've been in the ministry, I've faced numerous times with families. And it's all age groups, folks. It's not just a teenage. It's not just middle age. It's not always just older, but there's a very strong mixture of people in there that come to a point in their life that they just feel like life is so hopeless. And they too sometimes feel helpless. I want everybody, irregardless of your age, but I really want these younger people in here to really pay attention and listen this morning. Nothing in life is that bad. Absolutely nothing in life is that bad. And I want to just give you a personal note from me, okay? If there is ever anything going on in your life, would you please come talk to me? I promise you I will not pass judgment, but I'll put my arms around you and love you, get down on my knees and pray with you. It doesn't matter how bad you think you have messed up in life. It doesn't matter how difficult you think the situation is, and it doesn't matter if you think there is absolutely no way that you could ever overcome this situation and problem that you're going through with in life. Please come to somebody. If it's not me, come to somebody. And then I want to say to every single one of us, be the Christian person that you need to be. When somebody comes to you that's facing difficulties in life, sometimes all in the world you got to do is listen. Sometimes people feels like they've got to interject or they've got to be able to tell somebody something. A lot of times that's not the case. Somebody just needs somebody to give them a listening ear because of what they're going through with in life. So I pray that all of us as Christian men and women and teenagers and boys and girls would always strive to be willing to be there and to help somebody, whatever it is that they're going through with in life and whatever it is that they're facing in life. And there is one thing that I want to get out of the way before I say anything really about this and what took place in Elijah's life. It's not how you die that will determine your eternity, but it's rather what you did with Jesus while you were alive. So I hope everybody understands that and where I come from with that. So do you in life ever feel hopeless? Well, everybody has some times that they perhaps have felt that way to some degree. Sometimes you've had a time in your life when you've maybe felt a little bit helpless, just didn't know what you was going to do. Asking yourself, Lord, what in the world am I going to do with this situation in life and everything that's going on? How am I going to handle it? How can I cope with this that's come along in life? Just really, how am I going to handle it? Well, that's where we're going to look at this man Elijah. Turn to chapter 19, just a couple of pages over if you started there at 17. Because actually it's chapter 17 where Elijah comes on the scene. But listen what has happened now in chapter number 19, 1 Kings, listen. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Withal, had slain all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. Now this wicked woman Jezebel has sent a message to this man Elijah, God's prophet. She's sent word to him now. Now listen to what she says, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. In other words, what this lady was saying was, Elijah, by tomorrow you're going to be dead. That's what she's saying to Elijah. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came down and sat under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it's enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. So here's a man, Elijah, who has come to a point in his own life where he has requested that God would take his life. In other words, Elijah had come to the point in life where he was saying that, you know what? I just absolutely don't live anymore. That's a pretty tough place for people to come to. And now I want you to go back with me. Like I said, you got to see what's transpired in Elijah's life in order to understand where he's gotten to and what's happening with him. So if you go back to chapter number 17 now, and we see where Elijah has entered into the scene. Elijah is known as one of the greatest prophets that ever came and prophesied to the people of Israel and to God's people. He is known for that. Good Jews today would tell you about Elijah. and the strength of this man and the power of this man and all the things that transpired with this man. Well, when you look in chapter number 17, the first thing that comes along is God sends him with a word because his people had been so rebellious and they had turned away from God so much that God sends word through Elijah that a famine is coming into the land. In other words, it's going to be difficult to live because of their sinful nature and because of their willingness to abandon God and get away from God and go after false gods and primarily go after the gods that Jezebel had introduced to them through the prophets of Baal, a false god. But nevertheless, the people had given heed to a lot of that. And so God sends word through Elijah that you're going to face a famine in the land because of your wickedness. Well, naturally, Ahab, who's the king of Israel at that time, the northern kingdom, he's the king there, and Jezebel is his wife, and well, naturally, they don't like what Elijah has come along and had to say, that there's going to be a famine in the land, that people are going to look back and try to blame them, and so that they just absolutely do not like what Elijah's had to say. But what Elijah predicts comes true. But in this time, you remember, if you go on and read the story Elijah has down there by the brook, God places him down there by the brook and he feeds him every day, takes care of him. So there's the provisions of God that we see in Elijah's life. We see that a famine is in the land and yet God is taking care of Elijah. I want you to see all this and I want you to understand everything that's going on in Elijah's life. Well, then when you read on a little bit further, God has provided for him. Elijah has left there. He's going down the road. He comes on this house where there's this woman and her son. Their food source is run out. They don't have but enough food but to have one more final meal. And the lady tells Elijah when he gets there that my son and I, we're going to eat this meal and that'll be it. Well, if you read on into the story, you know what happened. Elijah is there with the woman and God miraculously fills the oil and the the basket there that she has her meal in and everything and lets them know that it will never run out. And Elijah eats with this family and then immediately after this is just God's provision and God working in Elijah's life. Then immediately after that, what happens? Well, her son gets real sick and he dies. Now, I mean, this is a tragic story all through. And then Elijah again, God works through him. And Elijah raises his son, or God raises him through Elijah. All right, so look what's happened in Elijah's life. He's come and he's been faithful to God. He has prophesied and told his people that there's a famine coming into the land. He's in, and God has provided for him. Then he's come to a widow's house and her son is there and they're fixing to die because of lack of food and God provides. And then this son of this lady, he dies and God brings him back to life. Then if you read on a little bit further, and I want you to get this. Then you read, and you could preach every one of these stories, but I just want us to understand what all had happened in Elijah's life and how he got to a point where that he himself just wished he was dead. Then the next story that you read about is that encounter that he has on Mount Carmel where the prophets of Baal come and they say they have a contest and they're going to decide who is the true God, who is the real God, which God will answer. So, you know, the story goes, Elijah goes in, he repairs the altars that had been torn down. They get the sacrifices ready. All of those prophets of Baal have been there all day long, chanting and yelling and cutting themselves and crying out to their God. And absolutely nothing has happened. Elijah gets everything, calls out to God, and he even tells him, he said, don't just put the offering and the sacrifice up there on that altar, but he said, get water and let's just douse it down. No trickeries. going to be able to be said about this. This is going to come directly from God, or it's not going to come from nothing. People's going to know who God is and who the true God is. Well, in that contest, God answers with fire, and he comes down and he consumes the whole altar. The prophets of Baal had done nothing, absolutely nothing. So do you see everything and all that God has worked and done in Elijah's life? He's met with those prophets there at Mount Carmel. And God has shown himself who the true God is. And after that, Elijah goes down and slays 450 of those prophets there. All of this. Now think about the reason that I told you all of those stories real quickly is that I want us to all understand this. Look how powerful and mighty that God had worked in this man's life. How strongly, how you saw the evidence of a true God working in the life of his prophet. You see all of that in Elijah. And yet, after all of this, his prophecy has come true. God has fed him when there's a famine in the land. God has provided for a family. God has miraculously raised someone from the dead. God has answered through fire when he has a contest with the false prophets of that day. All of this has transpired. All of this has happened. And then this one little old woman comes and tells Elijah that I'm going to get you and I'm going to kill you. And Elijah forgets about, I guess, everything that God has done and lets fear strike him down. Now I want to tell all of us something. I doubt very seriously anybody in here can say they've experienced the things in life that Elijah experienced. It's probably doubtful. It's probably doubtful. But I will say this. Everyone in here can say you have experienced God in your life. You know the realities of God. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, then certainly you know the realities of God and the realness of God, just like Elijah understood and knew the realities and the realness of God. Every one of us ought to be able to say, yes, preacher, I know the realities and the realness of God. Again, your problems, your situations, they might not have been quite as dynamic and big as Elijah's was. But has God not saw you through some times in your life? Do you not have something that you could reach back to? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you're a child of God, if you've got absolutely nothing else, reach back to the time that He saved you and grab a hold of that and know that that will carry you through anything in life. If nothing else will see you through, that's one thing that I believe will carry you through life. So all of us can look back in a time in our life as a Christian and say that we have experienced the hope and the help of God, because listen, when you were lost without God, you were hopeless and you were helpless, and He came along with hope and He came along with help in your life. So you know what it is to experience the realness and the realities of God, though they might not be as big as what Elijah had experienced, yet you and I understand and know what it is to have a reality in a real relationship with God. But then Elijah, through all of that, he had come to the point, and that's where I begin reading to you. Elijah had come to a point where he was, the term that we would use in our society today is that Elijah had come really to the point of being suicidal himself. He's wishing that he was dead. He's praying that God would just take his life. Now, what is that? Well, it's when we use that word suicidal, it's when somebody gets so deeply unhappy or so deeply depressed that there's a likelihood that that person might decide to take their own life. Elijah understood the awesome power of God, but he also understood the deep, dark side of depression, because I really believe that's where Elijah had come to in life. And look what he done, and see if you don't see this. It's what happens. I mean, you know, I'm no psychologist. I don't claim to be one. But things that I've read and things that I've experienced with people and families, so many times it's the same thing Elijah done. What did he do when the fear got there and this woman had struck fear in him? And what did he do? He got off to himself. He abandoned people that probably could have helped him and helped him through the time that he was going through with in life. But when you read that where I begin reading to you, Nahab and Jezebel has come and told him what's going to happen. They're going to get him. Jezebel really is the one that said that. She's going to get him. He strikes out, running away. Sometimes folks that get so depressed in life and so unhappy in life, one of the first things that you'll see is that they begin to separate themselves from their friends and family, things like that. So despite all the miracles that God had done, miraculous things that God had done in Elijah and through Elijah, you see the human side of him. You see the side that is just like so many people in the world today. You see a man that become fearful. You see a man that become evidently unhappy and didn't know what in the world that he was going to do. But God has a plan. And God always has a plan. And God will always help anybody through any situation in life. And I want everybody here to understand that, again, that there's nothing in life that is totally hopeless for you. No matter what your age is, and no matter what you're thinking, and no matter how bad you think you may have been, or how much wrong you think you may have done, God helps him. God comes in the when Elijah gets out there, he's run away from everybody. He's left his servant and went a day's journey, the Bible says, into the wilderness. That's a lonely place. So you see that Elijah is at a lonely place in life. And sometimes everybody feels like they're at a lonely place in life sometimes. And that's where Elijah had come to. But when you read on down just a little bit further, you're going to see where God comes to him. And he begins to minister to him while he was asleep there. Actually, it tells us that while he lay sleeping under that juniper tree, that the angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat." God had provided food for him. Now, you talk about the ultimate comfort food. Sometimes we hear people make that term say about, you know, "I just need comfort food." You talk about comfort food. Don't you know that was comfort food to Elijah for everything that he had been through and everything that he had faced in life? God provides for him there and touches him and tells him, you know, to arise and eat. And he looks and he's awoke out of his sleep and he sees that bread there and water for him. God had provided for him. And it come through an angel that God had sent to him to help him. I'm reminded of what the Hebrew writer tells you and I in chapter number 13 of the book of Hebrews. It's the second verse of chapter 13 where he talks about being careful or be not forgetful, I believe is exactly the way it says, to entertain strangers, whereby many have entertained angels unaware. Now, what that writer in Hebrews was talking about was that sometimes God sends His angels to minister to people. There is ministering angels. Angels are created beings of God. They're not worthy of our worship. Nowhere in the Bible does it talk about, teach anything about the worship of angels. But they are there as God's ministering agents. And there is a such thing as ministering angels. They ministered to Christ and they'll minister to you and I. And but then the thing that you and I should also realize sometimes is God works through us to be that ministering angel to some folks sometimes. So allow God to do that. It's kind of ironic when you read this story, the man that wanted to die, wanted the Lord to take his own life, and God didn't even let him die. Not in the way that we know of death. Sent a chariot for him and took him home. Somebody is always, God will always have somebody there for you. I believe that. I really do, because He doesn't want anybody to. That's just not God's will. It's just not God's will. It wasn't God's will for that young man. It's not God's will for anybody like that. It's just not. And yet we face that and we hear about it time and time again. And it seems like it's more and more nowadays in the pressures of this life. And my goodness, listen. I think about what things were when I was growing up and in school. I can't imagine what these young boys and girls go through with today. It is such a different world, so diverse, and so many ideas that people have nowadays. It's so different than the world I grew up in. They're faced with so many challenges nowadays that you and I really don't even have a clue. I couldn't even begin to understand probably a lot of things that they face today. So they need our prayers. They need our help. This family, let's pray for this family. Let's pray. Vicki mentioned this morning, I thought it was great. Let's pray for those men that's going to speak today, because there will literally be hundreds, if not thousands, of youth there at that service today. And I pray, my prayer is that good can come out of a tragic situation. That good would be able to come out of it. That somebody's life might be changed for all eternity through Christ. Steve, would you get us a song, please? I'm going to ask everyone, if you would, please stand. If you feel hopeless, helpless in life, the first thing I'd tell you to do is have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's by knowing Him as a personal Savior in your life. We want to give you that opportunity this morning while we stand together and sing this hymn of invitation. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you've never trusted Christ, that is the beginning point to understand that you have hope and that you have help.
Thank you all for coming this morning. And again, let's remember this family. But let's also be the kind of family, a church family, that everybody in here would know that there is nothing in life that's that bad. Absolutely nothing that Jesus can't take care of. And that true Christian people, I'm not saying that folks are going to pat you on the back and say it's okay if you've messed up, but we should be the kind of people that reaches down and loves people and sees them through their mistakes and helps them get their feet back on the right path. That's what I believe. In fact, not only do I believe that, that's exactly what the Bible teaches. Exactly what it teaches.